Gracious God, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors that they may swing gently and easily to welcome your word to us today.
Amen.
Sometimes we think that the earliest church, the congregations that were closest to the time of the historic Jesus, that they somehow were purer than we are, that somehow righteousness and love were so much easier for them than it is for us. Well, the passage we're going to look at from 1 Corinthians should straighten that out. Paul is pretty upset with them. And this passage from 1 Corinthians 11, which is buried deep in his letter, tells him why. But you don't need to go very deep into the body of the letter. From the very first part of his correspondence, chapter 1, he no sooner says hello than he begins to argue, to fuss at him. He says, "Is Christ divided?" he asks. "Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Is Apollos your good shepherd? Did Cephas call you to Galilee to throw down your nets and follow him?" Angry questions that Paul asks them. The Corinthians were forming these cliques according to who baptized them or who taught them or who led them to the Lord. And Paul had a mess on his hands. And then we get to a chapter 11, and if ever there was a church that was divided, it was this one. The message that we will hear concerns behavior at the Lord's Supper. In those long ago days, the Lord's Supper was a real meal. It was kind of like the carrion meals that we have here where we bring food and share it together. And Paul is furious with them. They are effectively excluding the poor from the meal. The rich bring their food early and share it together in cliques. But the poor, who can't come until after their workday is finished, most generally can bring only pure water instead of food to share. But they're poor. And so the poor have nothing to eat and are excluded from the feast. Paul is livid with them. "Any of you who eat and drink without recognizing the whole body of Christ," he warns, "eat and drink judgment on yourself." And so it turns out that the early church was not so perfect after all. Let's listen to this portion of Paul's letter to the young church in Corinth. "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be divisions among you to show which of you has God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry, and others get drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That's why so many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we might not finally be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give you further directions. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Did you know that World Communion Sunday came out of the creative heart of the Presbyterian Church? Yes, it was a Presbyterian thing before it became a worldwide observation. World Communion Sunday began in 1933 at Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The pastor was Reverend Hugh Thompson Kerr, and this was envisioned as a way to promote unity among Christian denominations through the Lord's Supper. The idea was to emphasize the interconnectedness of all Christians. It gained traction within the Presbyterian denomination, but it gained worldwide ecumenical support during World War II, symbolizing a way that the whole world could be brought together. It was adopted and promoted by what now is the National Council of Churches in 1940. And today it is a global observation on the first Sunday in October, celebrating the universal body of Christ and often incorporating diverse cultural aspects to help us remember that we have sisters and brothers whose faces we will never see this side of the gates of heaven, but who are blood relatives nevertheless through the blood of Jesus Christ. Today, while Americans were still sleeping, Christians in the Democratic Republic of Congo left their homes to go to places of worship to hear their pastor take bread and break it and say, "This is my body." In the Church of the Holy Resurrection in Jerusalem, the words were heard, "This is my body." In St. Paul's Cathedral in London, a hush fell over the congregation as the pastor declared, "This is my body." In churches and cathedrals across the United States today, pastors will take bread in their hands and declare, "This is my body." In thatched roof mission stations across the islands of the Pacific this afternoon will be heard, "This is my body." Throughout the world, churches of all denominations, in all nations, in many languages, are celebrating the Lord's Supper. And it couldn't have come at a better time. We are suffering across this world in many different ways. And we also need this time together to remember that our Lord also suffered. And we need to remember that he suffered for all of us, not just for you and me, not just for our neighbor next door or for our neighbor down the block, but for our neighbors all over the world. "God so loved the world," begins the most familiar verse in the Gospel of John. And it's as true in this unsettled, confusing, frightening age that we are now as it was in that time of unrest for those who have gone before us. And so here we are on a day that's called World Communion Sunday. And perhaps never as before, we need to be reminded that we are the living body of Jesus Christ in this world. There are those who would argue that far from bringing us together, the sacrament of Holy Communion simply underscores how far apart we are. In almost any city here in the United States, well over 50% of Christian denominations will not even recognize World Communion Sunday. The differences that we have between the churches can no more be visible than they are when we, in the way that we do the Lord's Supper. Some churches, like the Presbyterians and like the United Methodists, my home denomination, observe what's called open communion. And that means that anybody is permitted to come to the table. And that is because we believe that's what Jesus would do and what he wants us to do. Other denominations practice closed communion. They do not allow you to take communion unless you're a member of their denomination or sometimes even of that local church. In some churches, communion is served every week. In others, it's rarely ever mentioned. Our congregation serves the Lord's Supper once a month, but it might come as a surprise to know that some churches do not serve communion at all. So the living body of Jesus Christ, the church, is fractured. Some might argue that the theme of unity, which is the underlying purpose of the day, rather than just emphasizing a theme of unity, it accomplishes just the opposite. It proves that the church, the body of Jesus Christ, is the broken body of Christ. I wonder if that makes Jesus sad. Well, it makes me sad. When you drive down the street from where I live in Fort Hill to South Charleston, where this church is located, you will pass by United Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Episcopal, Assemblies, Church of Christ, and the signs go on, telling the story so plainly that we are not a united people. I wonder if Christ would come back today in human form and would sit at the table, if he would say, "Here's the bread, take it and eat. Here's the cup, take it and drink." And there would be no litmus tests for church denomination or theological debates. It would simply be offered and given. Of course, the worldwide body gathered around a common table is not yet a reality. And yet, it is an ideal. It's a foretaste of what will happen in kingdom come. It's a time when all things which seem so important to us now, that divide us, that keep us off track, that consume our energy and our focus, that prevent us from doing the work of the kingdom, all those things will be set aside, will be thrown away, and will be blotted out by the joy of all God's children and of all Jesus' sisters and brothers gathered around the heavenly table, the heavenly banquet at the throne of God. Yes, there are differences, not only between denominations, but also sometimes within denominations. But what the bread and cup represent transcends these differences, a body broken for us, blood shed for us. May his blood serve as a cement which brings together not only churches, but also people. May his body serve as the bonding agent that holds us together, and may it all be to the glory of God now and forever. Let's pray together. Oh God, we join with our sisters and brothers around the world in remembering Christ's sacrifice for us, for the opportunity to eat and drink together, for the life we have received. We give you thanks and praise. Redeem, restore, and remold us until we are made new. Grant us grace to fill one another's lives with love. We pray in and with and through our Lord Jesus. Amen.